Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And have you ever had a situation where your kid goes back to school promising that grades will be good, attendance will be good, everything will be all good, and mom and dad, don't worry, because last year was last year. That's not going to happen again. There's tons of good excuses why they didn't perform or do well last year. And today and this year is going to be a brand new year, so you don't have to worry about anything. In fact, you don't have to worry about it so much that you don't have to check their grades. You don't have to do anything at all. They're just going to magically do better, even though they did nothing all summer long to give you any proof that this year was going to be different. Well, if you've ever had that happen to you, or if you've just had any battles or confrontations or fights with your kids over grades and attendance and those things in the past, well, then this episode is just for you. So expectations about grades and checking grades is something that I'm going to be talking about in today's episode. I'm going to give you guys some basic tips how to make sure that you can navigate not getting caught in the traps of arguing with your kids about grades, especially throughout the quarter. At the end of the quarter, once grades are final, there's a whole lot less to argue about. But in the time up to that, most kids will tell their parents, don't worry, don't worry. Oh, wait, you got 35 missing assignments. It's okay. You know, I've done most of them. They just haven't graded them yet. Whatever their excuses are, you're told to not worry until it's too late. And then they got to go to summer school. You got to pay for some, you know, some things to get them caught back up, packets during the summer school, stuff like that. So to avoid that, I'm going to give you a couple basic tips. And the first one we'll start off with is very simple. Only check your kids' grades once a week. Now, for you parents out there that are overachievers, for you parents out there that are sitting there, well, you know, this thing was due and I want to make sure that they turned it in, stuff like that, I get it. And your goal as a parent is to help teach your kids become competent. Your goal as a parent is for you to create an environment so that they can learn when they're young, so that they don't have to learn these hard lessons when they're older. So making sure you only check the grades once a week will do a couple different things for you and for your kids. One, it's going to make you look like you're not a Nazi soldier forcing them to give you information whenever you want it. Okay. And another thing, it's going to give them just enough time to screw up, but not enough time to ruin their grades for the whole entire quarter, for the whole entire semester, because I suggest you check their grades every Friday. Now, when I say you check their grades for older teens, so anyone in high school, I strongly suggest that you have your kids give you the printout or show you on a computer screen or on their phone their grades. But the only way this is going to work and be effective and have a good conversation between you guys is if this is not an interrogation. You're not the judge. You're not, putting them on trial for what they did that they didn't do. What you want to do is set this up as just a meeting, telling your kids, hey, listen, what we're going to do this year is every Friday we're going to meet, and we're just going to meet for about 15 minutes. You're going to pull up what your grades are, your attendance and everything is, and you're just going to simply tell me as if like you're keeping me informed. You're going to say, hey, in this math class, I have 3 missing assignments. This assignment, it was due last week. I didn't do it because remember that was the day where we had that away football game and we had to go really early. I'm just making up a scenario, obviously. We had to go really early and we left school, so I didn't get a chance to do that math assignment in class. And so that's why I didn't do it, but I'm still trying to get caught up on it. So that's that assignment. Have them explain each assignment. Do not ask a bunch of questions in this, though. This is the trick. If they're explaining, well, if they're using that football scenario, we had an away game, it was a long trip, we left early, I missed class. Don't chime and say, well, but this is Friday and that was last Wednesday. You had plenty of time to get it done from then till now. That's not necessary. It's not even needed. They either did it at that moment or they didn't do it at that moment. If you as a parent start injecting all these like, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You know, you had plenty of time. then they're going to go on the defensive. And when they go on the defensive, they may even say worse excuses and give you things that are going to piss you off because you're like, that's not a good reason. That's a horrible excuse. Or they're going to shut down and not want to do this anymore. They need practice being accountable. When you tell your kid, I want you to be accountable for your grades and for your attendance, that's just a phrase. You're just telling them that. I want you to set up the scenario and set up the situation so that accountability is not just required of them. It's something that they can practice going back and forth. This would sound very similar to meeting with your boss at the end of the week, just to review how much you got done. And then when you get done, tell them all the things you did do and all the things you didn't do. Your boss will give you a little bit pointers. A good boss that's not micromanaging and say, okay, well, thanks for that. Obviously, you know what you need to work on. Just a little reminder, this has to be done by this date. Yeah, I know that boss, this and that, whatever, but you're all good. Okay, good. Thank you. That's it. It's a reporting and it's a meeting. It's not an interrogation. It's not from the judge and jury. It's not your chance to discipline them and call out all their mistakes. It's a meeting. The better your kids get, the more consistent they are at meeting with you about their grades, the better they are going to get at talking about their grades when they're not good and when they are good. You don't want your kids to be like, oh, yeah, I got all A's, no big deal. You want them to talk to you and tell you why they're doing good in that class. Maybe because they worked hard. Maybe there's some things that they figured out that, you know, you can give them, you know, a pat on the back for and congratulate them. So that's why I want you to check once a week. It slows down the nagging from you as a parent. If you're one of those parents that feels like you have to know, you don't have to know. You want to know. Okay. Once a week, every Friday. Now, if there's some big holes in there, if multiple Fridays in a row, you're seeing, hey, this class, this assignment has been done. Tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll let you go hang out with your friends this weekend. But next week, this Friday, if you don't have a significant amount less of missing assignments, like you say, you got 10 missed assignments. Next week, if you have any more than five, well, then you won't be able to hang out with your friends. Do things within reason. Make little negotiations, little deals with them. If you've listened to any of my other podcasts, you know, I love teaching parents to make deals with their teenagers, with their kids. Sometimes parents will tell me, well, sometimes they just need to do things. I don't have to make a deal. You're absolutely right. Sometimes you just got to be the bearer of bad news. We got to get in the car. We got to go. There's no deals we made. But when grades or social experiences are on the table, you always want to look at this as like, is this the time I'm going to correct them for making a mistake? Or is this time I'm going to help them to learn how to have patterns so they don't get in this mistake again? I believe the latter one is a lot more effective, specifically when it comes to grades. You don't want grades. School can already be a very shameful, pressurizing thing. You don't want to make it harder than it already is. So instead of interrogating them about why they didn't do certain assignments, why they're tardy to these classes, let them tell you how many times they're tardy and just say, okay, well, tell you what, next week you're going to do better in the tardy category, correct? And they're going to say, yes. Okay, so you're tardy three times this week. Tell you what, next week, how about in this particular class, I give you one tardy just in case something happens, but no more than one. If you go more than one, then we agree that you'll go without something or you'll have some sort of consequence. Most of the time they'll say, okay, I agree to that. If they say, well, no, that's not fair, then you can say, oh, okay, well, I can just give you the consequence now. Then they'll go, no, it's okay, it's okay, okay. So your kids aren't stupid. They are not stupid. At least they know how to pretend to be stupid at times, but they're not really that stupid, especially when it comes to their freedom and getting things that they want. So that's why you should only ask once a week. Okay. Now to the next part. So you covered that. Okay. The whole entire concept of what I'm trying to teach you guys comes from something I learned a long time ago from, oddly enough, like my jiu-jitsu instructor. He was telling me one time we're training, I had all these questions. I'm like, well, how do I do this? How do I do that? And I had all these questions for him. He said, hey, I know you got a lot of questions. He said, let's just do this. Each time we meet, I'll teach you a little bit, but we'll train a lot. I remember that. He goes, teach a little bit, which in translation means learn a little bit, do a lot. Learn a little bit, do a lot. So it's the same concept and the same psychology with this. In this weekly meeting, you're going to learn a little bit of information about your kids' behaviors and the patterns that week, but you're going to ask them to go back and do something about it that next week. If you keep on checking in with them multiple times throughout the week, you're trying to force them to learn a lot, and it's more likely they're not going to do a lot. If I'm talking to my jiu-jitsu instructor, anyone that's being coached by someone, and you're asking questions the whole entire time, guess what they're doing? They're answering your questions. And then you're saying, well, what about this? What about that? Well, does that always happen? Then some debates can happen. Next thing you know, time's up and you had no time to train. Same thing with you as parents. These meetings with your kids every Friday, they should be no longer than 10 to 15 minutes. If you're talking a lot during that time, then they're going to feel exhausted. They're not going to want to meet with you, and they're less likely to go follow through with the things that they said that they were going to do. So learn a little bit about your kid and their patterns and behaviors, have them report the information to you, and then have them go back throughout the week and try to figure out how to make it better. The whole entire time, look for little deals that you can make with them to encourage them to do better the next week. But again, that's on you, parents, to get better and more creative at asking them questions that don't trigger like any sort of anger and frustration with them. It can be innocent questions like, hey, I see that your algebra grade went from a B last week, and now this week it's an A minus. Like, what's up with that? Oh, I did these things, did that. Okay, great. See, when we ask questions, they don't have to be questions to interrogate, to get them to confess something. It could be questions just to give you more information about a successful thing that they did. So keep that in mind, you guys. You know how I feel about questions. You don't want to do a lot of questioning your kids because it feels like interrogation. But if you are going to question someone, sometimes the questions could be leading them to give you better information about why they're being successful. Okay. So just a little, a few takeaways from this. This is practice for life. This is not about the grades. This is not about you being in control and being power and having a power position with your kids. This is about training them for life. This is no different than a meeting with the boss. This is no different from having to be accountable to a partner. It could be a work partner. It could be an intimate partner. It could be any sort of partnership in your life. In partnerships, the way we talk to each other is very important. We don't want to interrogate our partners. We don't want to make them feel like we're lacking trust in them. But we do want to have meetings, and we do want to have meaningful conversations. And the best and most meaningful conversations don't take hours. They're shorter. They're sweeter. They're to the point. Now, if throughout the quarter you have problems with your kids, the grades are slipping, and it's not working all that well, then obviously you're going to have to make adjustments. You're going to have to change these meetings to maybe perhaps give them a little bit more structure. Maybe they may have to do a tracker throughout the week if they're having a hard time turning in their assignments. And most of you guys know what a tracker is. But if you give your kid a tracker where they have to go have teachers sign off on things, make sure that there's a time limit on that. Say, I'll tell you what, for the next 2 weeks, let's have you do a tracker and see how that works. If your grades come up and things go better, then you'll be good. You'll be off that tracker, but at least it's going to give you in the pattern and the habit. Maybe they got to do the tracker the rest of the quarter. Maybe it's an inconvenience for them, but maybe it does help their grades. Maybe it is exactly what their needs. So remember, you guys, this is a life skill that you're teaching your kids. This is not the end all be all. As simple as this is for me to say this to you, it's hard as a parent. It's hard for myself to not overreact. It's hard to not act like this is going to make or break my kids, because there is some truth to that. But the truth is, if they don't get in the right habits now, this could eventually someday hurt them. But right now is how you develop the good habits. And that doesn't take a week. That doesn't take even one quarter. That takes work throughout the course of a whole entire school year and multiple school years for you to help your kids see what grades are really about. Grades are really about identifying something that needs to be done, taking the time and putting the effort into doing it. And when you put the time and effort into doing something, usually, unless your kids have some sort of serious learning disability or going through some major trauma or mental health issues, unless that's the case, you will see positive results and increase in their performance. Even if your kids don't need to get all A's, even if you're not, you know, requiring them to be great students, you will notice consistency and a higher level of performance. And you'll also notice less pushback from them because they don't feel like they're being asked tons of questions. They feel like you're meeting with them and having conversations about how to help support them. All right, you guys, that's today's episode. And as always, remember, you can follow us on OG Therapy Podcast or OG Therapy on all your podcast platforms. And also, too, you can go to Patreon. If you want to pay $5, you can get all the videos that we've done in the past 3 years, even episodes that we never that were never posted. They were just Patreon episodes. And for about the past year or so, we've been putting up all of our recent episodes that you hear on podcast platforms. We put them up on Patreon. That's at www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. And then if you happen to want to follow me, you can follow me. I'm active on Instagram. It's David_KOZLOWSKI. And remember, you guys, when you're down on your knees, you're thinking, Lord, please help me. Baby Jesus, Buddha, Allah, everybody, whatever you agree to or like or higher power, whatever it is, please, please, please help me so I don't freak out on my kids and my teens. Just remember, all you got to do is press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.